Brother Mike Walker requested that I bring a message at the graveside for his wife yesterday, and I'm going to try to repeat it tonight. I had prepared something else, but I believe this will be profitable for you. I like to think about what God's people experience when they leave this world. Unlike most people, I like to think about dying. I like to think about death, and I like to think about eternity. I hope you'll learn too. Soon, you and I must leave this world. We who believe on the Lord Jesus, who are washed in His blood and robed in His righteousness, have every reason to look upon our departure from this world with anticipation, with expectation, and with delight. There are things opened to our eyes that we shall see immediately as we could never see before. Mike's wife, Debbie, died after 9 long weeks of suffering. She's 37 years old, and we don't understand all the details of how God works all things together for our good and His glory. And it is best that we do not understand how He does so. If we understood the mystery of God's providence and how He accomplishes His will, there would be no faith by which to glorify and honor Him, trusting Him to perform what He has said. But here in Revelation chapter 4, we see John as he is caught up into heaven by the Spirit of God and given visions of those things that must come to pass. He's given us a vision here by divine inspiration of that which is and that which was and that which must be, that which is now being accomplished, that which has been accomplished, and that which must be accomplished. And the three things are all one. That which is being done has been done in God's decree and shall be accomplished in time to the glory of God. Now just imagine, if you can, being transported right now into heaven. After this I looked, and behold, a door. A door was opened in heaven. That door, of course, is Christ Jesus the Lord. That door was not just open, but that door was opened. Opened by God's decree, opened by Christ's finished work as our Redeemer, by His blood and righteousness, opened by His entrance into heaven as our forerunner. And if it is opened to you now to enter in, it's opened to you by the Spirit of God in the sweet revelation of His grace. And when you leave this world, opened to you. Imagine that. God Almighty, throwing open the door of heaven for me to enter in. A door opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet. A trumpet talking with me. A trumpet is an instrument of calling. It's an instrument of triumph. It's an instrument of victory. It is a trumpet talking with me. And this is what it says. Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. If ever a sinner is given grace by God to enter into the holiest, through the door of Christ Jesus the Lord, first thing he will see is a throne set. This throne, of course, I've told you numerous times, is the mercy seat. It is the throne of grace. It is that which Isaiah saw upon which the Lord sat. The throne was set, that is, fixed in heaven, and one sat thereon. This throne is the throne by which the world is ruled in all the details of this world. It is the throne fixed by God himself from eternity upon which he sits. Unruffled, unmoved, undisturbed by anything. And just to the degree that he gives us grace to trust him, so we shall be unruffled, unmoved, undisturbed by that which transpires here below. Nothing shakes God's throne. Nothing shakes his purpose. Nothing disturbs him. Nothing hinders him. He sits upon this throne. Now watch this. He that sat was to look upon like jasper, and a sardine stone, a rare jewel. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald, completely encircling the throne, that bow. God destroyed the world in a flood in the fury of his wrath. And when he'd finished destroying the world and he called Noah out of the ark, and the ark had found rest on the mount, God said to Noah, said, I'll never do this again. I will never again overflood the earth with my wrath and water. It will never come over the earth again and destroy all creeping things and all flesh upon the earth. And see, I have set my bow in the sky. He's every time you see a cloud form in the sky and you feel a little rain start to fall out of the sky, remember the bow. It's a token of my covenant. It's a token of my covenant. Hear me, children of God. God help you to hear me. Nothing proceeds from God's throne. And nothing goes to God's throne. Nothing comes from it, and nothing reaches to it, except that which is according to God's covenant grace bestowed upon us in Christ Jesus. Everything God does in this world, everything we experience in this world, even those things that seem so bitter, so hard to bear, so heavy a load, everything is ordered according to this covenant that God Almighty has made on our behalf with his own darling Son. It's ordered in all things and sure, and the whole of it is our salvation. I think I'm just beginning to get a little glimpse of what I've been trying my best to preach all my life as a believer. This thing called salvation. From the time we come forth from our mother's womb, we are continually experiencing God's salvation. And it will be complete when we are raised from the dead and made like our Redeemer in resurrection glory. But all that's going on here is God delivering us from the curse. God delivering us from the fall. God delivering us from sin. God delivering us from ourselves. Understand that and rejoice in God's providence as you would in the blood of Christ freshly shed today. This is God's salvation. The whole of it is God delivering us. Read on. And round about the throne were 24 seats. Just 24 places, that's all. Just 24 seats. You mean just 24 people going to heaven? Well, what idiot would ever think such a thing? What idiot would ever think such a thing? And yet there are idiots who presume, because in chapter 7, The scripture speaks of 144,000. That's all that's going to heaven. It's a specific number to represent a specific number, but a number that no man can number. These 24 seats are the places prepared for God's elect in heaven. There are a specific number of people who shall enter into glory. They are represented by these 24 seats in which are seated 24 elders. But these 24 elders, these 24 seats, represent a multitude 10,000 times 10,000, as we'll see in just a moment. All right. These 24 seats, and upon the seats, I saw 24 elders sitting. Now watch it. Clothed in white raiment. We know that if our earthly house, this tabernacle, be dissolved, we have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Paul said we're desirous of this, not to be unclothed, but clothed upon. Here in heaven sit these 24 elders, all God's elect, and they are all clothed with white, in white raiment, clothed, all of them, in the same garment, just one garment. It is called the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And they all had on their heads crowns. Crowns of pure gold. White raiment. Where have we read that before? Back in the book of Exodus, again in the book of Leviticus, when the priest went into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement. On that day when he would make sacrifice to God, make atonement for the sins of the people, he would take off his gorgeous apparel and put on white raiment, white linen garments, white linen breeches, and he would go into the Holy of Holies, that place where God said, I'll meet you on the mercy seat between the cherub and commune with you. There, God's priest wear white raiment. But here they sit in this white raiment with crowns on their heads. Kings and priests we are made unto God by Christ Jesus the Lord. And out of the throne proceeded lightning and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of our God. These seven lamps, of course, the golden lampstand standing in the tabernacle in the holy place just outside the veil going into the Holy of Holies. These seven lamps burning with fire are the seven spirits of God. That is the perfect sevenfold spirit of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts. Modern translations do a little better with this. They have the appearance of beast, not in the sense of wild beast, but a strong beast. But the translation in most modern translations is four living creatures. Four living creatures full of eyes before and behind. They see clearly what God has done, and they see clearly what lies ahead. That's pretty good vision. That's pretty good vision. I see clearly what God has done. I really do. I don't have any question about it. And I see clearly what God's going to do tomorrow. I have no question about it. He's saving his people. He's making himself an everlasting and a glorious name. They have eyes before and eyes behind. And the first beast was like a lion. And the second had the face of a man. These beasts speak of God's servants, gospel preachers, prophets and apostles and pastors and preachers in all the ages of time who lead God's church in the knowledge of him, in the knowledge of the Redeemer. They are bold like a lion. And the second is like a calf. And the third has the face of a man, strong like an ox, yet tender like a man, for he's one of you. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle, swiftly flying to do the master's will. And the four beasts, each had them six wings about him. They're full of eyes within, and they rest not. They're constantly given to the labor and the work of the gospel. Blessed work it is. They rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." That's exactly what Isaiah saw in Isaiah chapter 6. He said, "I saw these seraphim, these six-winged creatures before the throne crying, 'Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of Sabbath, Lord of hosts, Lord God Almighty.'" He's the thrice holy God. They cry continually concerning him which was and is to come, the eternal God, our Savior. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, when they give praise to him, the 24 elders, God's people, they fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever. God's servants not only are sent of God for this work, but this is the work they do. In this world, we lead God's people to Christ on the throne to worship him. And as Christ is lifted up and exalted, his people fall down before him and worship him. Now watch this. And they cast their crowns before the throne. He who made us kings. Oh, these crowns of life and righteousness and glory, these crowns of everlasting salvation that you've given us, we cast them at your feet. They weren't earned by us. They were earned by you. And we bow before you. Kings and priests we are over all God's creation, but not over God. Over all the affairs of time in Christ, but not over Christ. We cast our crowns before him, saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things." Now watch this. "And for thy pleasure, they are and were created." I haven't turned the news on in a few days. If I go home tonight and turn it on, no matter what it is they tell me on the news came to pass today. God did that. God did that. He may have used hell to perform it, but God did it. And he did it for me, for his pleasure. "Thou hast created all things," past tense. "And for thy pleasure, they are," present tense, "created, and were," past tense, "created." Everything for his pleasure, and his pleasure is our salvation. "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals." I have no question at all. The book is obviously symbolic like the rest of the book of Revelation is, not talking about God literally sitting down writing out books. I have to write things down to remember them. God doesn't. I have to write them down to plan them. God doesn't. But he speaks to us in language we can understand. John said, "I saw a book, and it was written. I could see writing everywhere. Written on the inside and on the outside. And the book is bound shut and sealed. It's got seven seals on it. Seven seals of perfection. Seven seals of grace. But what's in that book? What's it? What's in this book of God's purpose? John said, I saw this book in the right hand of him that sat on the throne, verse 2, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Who is worthy to fulfill everything written in this book? Who's worthy to bring it to pass as it is written in this book? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look therein. And I wept. I wept much because no man was found worthy to open the book and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Weep not. What is it you see? I see a door opened in heaven and a throne and one sitting on that throne in undisturbable ease and serenity. I see a rainbow around that throne and I see elders worshiping before that throne. I see a book and behold, I see the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. He who is the one from whom David sprang, and he who sprang from David. This one who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Brother Bob Ponce pointed something out to me years ago. In Genesis 49, you remember Judah said to his father, said, you trust the lad with me and I'll go down and I'll bring him back to you. I'll be surety for him. And if I don't bring him back, let me bear the blame. Just before that, in Genesis 48, Reuben volunteered to do the same thing. Reuben volunteered to, and Jacob wouldn't trust Benjamin to Reuben's hands. But he trusted him to Judah's hands. How come? Our Lord is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's not the Lion of the tribe of Reuben. Here's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Lion prevailed. Not shall prevail. Not is about to prevail, but the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed. He prevailed before ever the book began to be opened. He prevailed from eternity. He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The Father gave to the Son the dominion of all things, power over all flesh from eternity. He did so publicly in the resurrection after he died and accomplished redemption for us. But he was made to be Lord over all as our surety even before time began. He's prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts and the midst of the elders, right in the middle of everything, right in the middle of everything, the centerpiece, the glory, the majesty, the fabric itself of heaven, stood a lamb. A lamb that obviously had been slain, having seven horns, perfect, complete power, all authority, and seven eyes, perfect, complete wisdom, which are the seven spirits, are the sevenfold spirit of God sent forth into all the earth. His power and his wisdom. His power and his knowledge. His power and that knowledge of his own for whom he died, by which he shall justify many, ruling the whole world, going forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts, these preachers, these prophets, these apostles, and the 24 elders, these saints of God, gathered from among the four corners of the earth, the whole Israel of God, fall down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. they fall down before him. And they worship him with harps and vials full of odors, which are their prayers. Now let me ask you, children of God, let me ask you, I presume you've been praying today. What is it you've been praying for? What is it you want? What is it that you desire? Father, glorify thy name. To that end, I willingly, gladly sacrifice myself and all to which I have any relationship in this world. Glorify your name. Glorify your name. And here we see their prayers. When this is done, God's name is glorified. Now, children of God, I ask you again, how would you alter this? How would you change this? How would you change what God has done, what God is doing, what God shall do? Oh, Lord, give us grace now to see with confident faith what we shall see with joyous, confident, everlasting bliss in heaven. You've done all things well. You've done all things well. What will I change? Nothing. Nothing. Verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. I see something else. Every blessed one of God's elect are with the Lamb round his throne. Not one missing. Every chosen, redeemed sinner, every sinner called by God's grace with him in glory. And they say with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is Christ our Redeemer to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature, there's a time called the time of restitution of all things. A time by which Brother Rex read just a little bit ago, when Christ is going to reconcile all things to God. Everything. We're going to spend, forgive me, I know I'm redundant sometimes. We're going to spend eternity doing a lot of things. But one of those blissful things we're going to spend eternity doing. Sitting on the mountaintop of Zion in God's holy hill in heaven. It shall be our delight to look back over all the hills of time, discovering God's good hand of providence in every detail of world history in every detail. What's he say here? Every creature. Clause, that takes in a bunch. Every creature. For thy pleasure, thou hast created all things. For thy pleasure, they are and were created. For thy pleasure, everything. Every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth. I take that to be hell itself. And such as are in the sea and all that are in them. Every demon in hell, Satan himself, every man, every Jacob and every Esau. I heard them saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And every preacher who's ever lived, and every sinner called by God's grace, robed in Christ's righteousness, bought with his blood, at last seated with God in glory. Every one of them. You're going to see every creature. Every creature. Every event. Everything that has been. Falling down before God. Giving him glory. And we'll say amen. That's just exactly the way it ought to be. That's just exactly the way it ought to be. And today is just exactly the way it ought to be. And yesterday was just exactly the way it ought to have been. And tomorrow will be just exactly the way it ought to be. And that's the revelation of God in this book. Amen.